You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Lee Vowell and Todd Vandenberg.
And welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast. If you hear any background noise today, we apologize. They're outside our studio. Not that noise, that's Todd. But outside our studio, they are working on something. So I apologize if there's a loud sawing noise. Just pretend we're at a metal concert or something.
I think they're working on an angry cat.
An angry cat. Yeah, that's true. So we are here to talk Seahawks, of course, and do a little bit of reading probably at some point from Hitchhiker's Guide. I don't know, tradition now.
Yeah, contractual.
We'll do something we don't normally do on this podcast and actually talk Seahawks from the beginning.
Talk Seahawks. That's a stunner.
I know it's like, you know, way out of left field, but I really wanted
to open with a soliloquy from the Screwtape Letters. Anyway,
well, yeah. You have that in front of you. I think the reason I want to do this is because I still, and I'm sure you are and everybody is, still seeing a ton of stuff on social media, even after week two, just about like, Juno's a bad quarterback. And I'm like, come on, man. We got to stop that crap.
I actually haven't seen that much of it this week. But I'm not surprised it's still out there because some people, either they're Cardinals fans, right? Just trolling. Or they don't actually watch the Seahawks games. And they think that the team stopped playing in 2013. I don't know what else to say because they're clearly not watching the games if they still think Geno's a bad quarterback. There's no way around that.
Especially after week two, because it's like, I don't know. They don't win that game.
No.
They don't win that game if Geno Smith's not playing. He should have been 38 of 44.
Yeah.
Instead of 33. He had those drops.
And with two or three touchdowns, two for sure, if not three.
Yeah.
Instead of the one, because that Noah Fant thing, like you had said before, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
As long as he actually holds the ball before he turns. So.
Yeah. So like Luke wrote an article about Geno Smith deserving extension because, you know, he's already reached out to, and there's a lot of people, this is on our 12th Man Rising Facebook page. But a lot of people are like, whoa, slow down. It's only two games. I'm like, it's not two games. I'm sorry. It's 2 years and two games.
Exactly.
And somebody said, doubt it, drafting a quarterback next year. No. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of that. It's like, yeah, keep telling yourself that they'll give him 4 years, $160 million. It's like, okay, that's what we'll keep telling ourselves. Because that was the point of the article. And then another person says, need to wait an entire year and whether the Seahawks can get into the wild card round. Why? Why do you need to wait? What are you seeing that, or what are you not seeing, I guess, that makes you think Well, 2 years is not long enough. I mean, and I know what they're thinking. He's been bad for 2 years. And it's like he has not been a bad quarterback.
As a guy posted on Facebook and in the 12th Man Rising page, he is ranting about, oh, it's like he's the 20th best at bet. And it's like, okay, so. But it was nothing to back that up, literally nothing except him just saying that. And I said, okay, I posted, name the 19 who are better right now. And of course, he never responds because they never do when you challenge people to like post something. And he could have just posted his opinion on the 19 quarterbacks better. He didn't even bother doing that right now. And Pro Football Focus is it's still, I mean, it's stat-based, but it's still their opinions based on those stats. A lot of times their stats don't match up like any other stat site. Like you look at the stats for any random game, and sometimes they'll have 4 sacks instead of 3.5. Or, as far as individuals.
Well,
so the stats don't always match.
You're talking about Pro Football Focus, right?
Pro Football Focus,
right. I think it's because they can't do the 0.5. I know that sounds stupid, but I think that's why.
Well, their hurries for the Hawks, and I don't have it right in front of me, but their hurries in the last game were way off compared to other stat sites. Anyway, that being said, it's about as good a source as any, right? Geno Smith is currently ranked 6th in the NFL among the quarterbacks. Ahead of him are Derek Carr, and that's not saying Derek Carr is going to be great, but so far, let's see, he's thrown for 440 yards, has 5 touchdowns, 1 pick. I mean, so far he's been great. Kyler Murray, he's ranked ahead of him. They're not really looking at the fourth quarter. But, Sam Darnold, that's another guy who's going to fall apart because we know he will, typically. But
maybe, yeah. He could be the Rich Gannon of 2024.
He could be. Right now, Geno is ahead of players like Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, who's having a decent year again, much of a surprise because, and it's funny is Baker Mayfield is headed to Deshaun Watson for a little bit less money and a little bit less trouble.
He needed out of Cleveland, though. I mean,
he did for sure.
Just a change of scenery helped.
Yeah. But oh, my God, there's this constant, Geno's no good. It's like, you're not looking at any games at all. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. That was ranked according to, I don't know what the heck it was ranked according to, but overall offense, Geno was ranked 3rd in the league right now. 3rd in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. Total QBR.
And look at the games. Like you said, how many quarterbacks, I don't mean like on the Seahawks roster, how many quarterbacks in the league right now would have won that game with the defense making too many mistakes? I mean, they had
no running game
place, and exactly no running game. It's like Patriots, all they had to do is play the pass the whole freaking game. Yeah. And they still couldn't stop Geno. His own receivers couldn't stop him, even though they dropped the 5 passes, drops isn't terrible, but I mean, only one of those balls was a difficult catch, and DK should have caught that. I mean, it was a rocket, but DK normally catches those. The others were just like, oh, let me hand deliver this to you, and they dropped him.
On Brock and Salk on Monday, the Mike McDonald show, they brought up, I guess it was some, I don't know, ESPN or NFL stats where Geno Smith in week 2 had no passes that were off target, literally no passes. Yeah. And Mike McDonald was like, is that good? just to point out how wrong you are, Todd, just getting back to social media, especially on our Facebook page. I just want to point this one out from Mark Johnson, who wrote in all capital letters, and not anything about Geno, even though it was a Geno article. It just says, hey, 12th Man Rising, less words and more action. Roll the wave in Lumen Field during Hawk defense. What the hell? What is that even? What are you trying to say, dude?
That's a day drinking post right there.
That's a Greg Adams wrote, a win is a win. The reason I'm reading this one is because it's a common theme that I've seen. A win is a win, but the Hawks have played a couple of mediocre teams and a couple of terrible offensive quarters in those games. 4 touchdowns in 8 quarters against mediocrity isn't bad, but not great either. Uh-oh, Geno's playing well. We'll see. Here's the thing. the mediocrity has nothing to do with the two defenses they've played. Right. The Broncos have a good defense, and so do the Patriots.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter if the other offenses are, he doesn't point that out, but it doesn't matter if the other offenses, which are, the Patriots are limited. I mean, you know, yeah. The running game was better than expected. The Broncos just suck. Bo Nix sucks right now. They just suck. Sean Payton sucks. And the reason Sean Payton sucks is because he knows what he had last year and he knows what he had coming in this year. He's not calling plays that are helping Bo Nix. He would have Bo Nix run a lot more. But anyway, both the first two teams are mediocre. It's like, I think the Patriots are actually going to be better than people expected this year. And the Broncos are bad, but they're both bad offensively, not defensively.
Right.
So, and again, just like we said, there's no running game in week two, literally no running game until overtime.
No.
William John Voivode, I'm not sure how to say it. Patriots and Broncos. Awful close games for a baller like Geno. I'm sure he will show us what he hasn't against better teams. Mouth still open because the article is closed mouths. Again, what are you trying to say? Geno's fault because they won the games, but that the games are close. That doesn't make any sense. Thankfully, there's other people like Nick Grauman said Geno killed it, and there were six drops. So there are people out there that, you know, be able to speak objectively about Geno. I think it just goes back to stuff we've talked about quite a bit, which is it's almost like our presidential candidates. I see them one way, and there's nothing they can do to change my mind.
Yeah.
Nothing Geno does is going to change people's minds. He's a bad quarterback, even though, yeah, okay. No, he led the league in game-winning drives and fourth-quarter comebacks last year. And in 2022, it was NFL in completions, NFC in touchdown passes. And this year, he's third in total QBR so far through two games. A lot of other quarterbacks have played teams that are not even as good as the Broncos and Patriots are combined.
Especially defensively.
Yeah.
Especially on defense. You know, those aren't two great defenses, but they're two pretty decent defenses. It's just... It's mind-boggling, this whole anti-Geno stuff. I never have gotten it, and I still don't get it. It's like, what are you looking for?
Yeah, they're always going to see him as a backup quarterback, and there's nothing they can do. So I guess we should interject here with the Hitchhiker's Guide. We got to read, contractually speaking, we've got to read some of these. Sadly, however, before she could get to a phone to tell anyone about it, a terrible, stupid catastrophe occurred, and the idea was lost forever. This is not her story. But that's really what the words say. I don't know why you're laughing. But it is the story of that terrible, stupid catastrophe and some of its consequences.
It is.
It is also the story of a book called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, not an Earth book, never published on Earth, and until the terrible catastrophe occurred, never seen or even heard of by any Earthman, Thomas Paine, or anyone else. Nevertheless, a wholly remarkable book. That's kind of full of himself.
Oof,
boy, like Douglas Adams.
My head hurts.
Brought tears to my eyes. When I have that kind of arrogance.
That's the smoke from the sawing next door. Seahawks this week facing your Miami Dolphins.
Oh, that's funny. We both said your Miami Dolphins. Without Tua.
Without Tua.
Skylar Thompson, who can hardly be contained. Thompson.
Yeah, he's not exactly a great quarterback. Although, I mean, obviously Tua is a better quarterback, right? But he played really poorly against the Bills.
Skyler or Tua or both, I guess.
Well, Skyler was hideous, but Tua was not good against the Bills. And the Bills have a solid defense, right? But I mean, man, he made some really nice throws, but like, oh, okay, you wanna? Yeah, he was bad. Period. Thompson was. Let's say significantly worse. 8 of 14 for 80 yards.
That's 10 yards of completion. That's solid stuff. That's starter. starter level.
That's a sweet, sweet game he played.
And they picked up a bunch of points too, didn't they? Maybe I'm wrong about that. I think they scored a lot of points with Thompson in at quarterback.
Well, they didn't score negative points, so there's that. Which, I mean,
there you go.
Tua's, they scored negative points off Tua. I was like, through so many picks. And one of the picks was just like, the receiver said, let me volley this over to a defensive player. But
Jermaine Kearse is still playing.
Yeah. Another one, he was under pressure and tried to throw the ball away and didn't get enough on it. And it was like, just floated right up there, easy pick six. But Thompson, and that's who we have to worry about, 2 years ago, because he didn't play last year, because he didn't have to play. 2 years ago, 78 completions on 150 attempts, 754 yards, 2 touchdowns and 5 picks. He's not a solid quarterback, I would say.
It's a solid ratio though, 2-5. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's solid, all right. Tyler Huntley, and granted, he's just come to the Dolphins. Like, he worries me a hell of a lot more than Skylar Thompson, because he's actually been a decent backup throughout his career.
So this is news to me. So Huntley signed with the Dolphins this week, I guess.
Yeah, just a couple days ago. Then there are millions of articles about, it's like, Tom Brady could go to the Dolphins and save them, and they can make a deal for, it's like,
it's not a bad idea actually.
It was like they should pick up. They should pick up
Bryce Young.
It's like, yeah, they should pick him up. And other ones, they can trade with the Rams for Garoppolo and all. It's like, I'm not gonna. First, why would you want Jimmy Garoppolo on your team? It was like, no. Like, let's replace the guy who gets hurt a lot with a guy who gets hurt even more.
Hey, Jimmy G's got the goods. Okay, he can give you the good stuff.
What the hell would you be doing with that? But the thing with Tom Brady, that was like the funniest thing. It's like, come on, shut up. Like, obviously they picked up Huntley because they're looking for a backup for their backup, and a guy who can start if he has to, because he has.
And has faced, right? Mike McDonald's defense in practice.
And, it's like, Huntley's a decent quarterback. He's honestly, I think he's better than Thompson. Like,
but there's no chance they Huntley starts over Thompson though, right?
No, there's none, because, he's had, of course, I don't know how many, speaking of a quarterback we mentioned earlier, how many days did Baker Mayfield have to study the playbook for the Rams?
Right. That's true. Yeah.
So, I don't think the Dolphins are going to do that with Huntley, but if Thompson is like, he throws 2 picks and doesn't move the ball at all on the first half, I would not be a bit surprised to see Huntley come in the second half. I mean, he's a better quarterback, period. The only reason not to start him is because he'll have had, 5 days to study the playbook. Other than that, if he'd been on that staff from the beginning, he would have been the backup instead of Thompson, period. I mean, easily. Yeah, he's not a great quarterback, but he's a much better quarterback.
Made the Pro Bowl 1 year.
So
still weird.
Yeah, it is really weird, right? But, he's a better quarterback. 64% completion percentage over his career. 8 touchdowns, 7 picks. That's not exactly earth-shattering, but it's better than 2-5. Thompson,
he is an earth man.
Thompson, his completion percentage is 52.4. It's almost like
over half. That's what you're looking for.
How are you still in the NFL? And he's had a few good games here and there, but few being the operative phrase. So I hope he does just well enough to stay in the game. I would much rather see him against the Hawks than Tyler, honestly. Not that Tyler's going to be like huge, but he poses a more significant threat for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because of the Ravens commonality between Huntley and McDonald. So even though Huntley would be able to say, hey, the defense tends to do this, then McDonald would also know the tendencies of Huntley as well. Of course, that would be an in-game adjustment for the Seahawks than the Dolphins, because Huntley would just. But I mean, I think with Thompson, hopefully the strength about Tua, who's not the best quarterback ever, but he's a very good quarterback,
right,
is that the offense is tailor made to his strengths, throwing deep and things like that. And he throws an excellent deep ball.
Right.
Just imagine what Russell Wilson would have done in that offense when he was younger.
Right.
So without that aspect, and we know Thompson doesn't have the deep ball like, well, just imagine what Geno Smith would do in that offense. But we know Thompson doesn't have the deep ball like Tua. No. So hopefully, everything's a little bit closer to the line, which helps Seattle. But they've still got Tyreek Hill. They've still got Jalen Waddle. And they've still got good running backs. I don't know if Mostert's going to play.
I haven't seen yet if he's going to play or not, but Achan.
We're recording this on Wednesday, and that's when the injury reports began to trickle in.
Achan lit the Bills up. I mean, what, 90, over 90 yards rushing and almost 70 yards receiving? I mean, but unfortunately for Miami, he was the only player lighting up the Bills. I mean, no one else did anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they pretty much contained Waddle and Hill both. The Dolphins are good against the run, pretty much, but their left tackle, might be back for the game. But they're starting their third string left guard. So they're not exact. They're kind of vulnerable on that side far as pass rush. And they've got, so far this season, they have like almost zero pass rush. They've not done much at all. They literally are like half of what the Seahawks have done in sacks and in quarterback.
You mean half of what Boye Mafe has done?
Yeah. And Leonard Williams combined.
Yeah, and Leonard Williams.
But yeah, it's like they really haven't generated much of a pass rush at all this year. So that certainly bodes well for the Hawks, just because they're not exactly great at pass protection, other than Charles Cross, who's like,
has allowed zero
pressure. You shall not pass. It's like, okay, yeah. Gandalf, way to go.
Literally zero pressures. His Pro Football Focus has his grade at 90, which is 5 points higher. I wrote about this at some point. 5 points higher than second place, and the difference between Cross and second place is the same difference between second and ninth, as far as grades. It's kind of interesting because you see ESPN had a pass rush win rate and run stop win rate for defense, and then same thing for offense. But they don't have Charles Cross listed anywhere in the win rates. But I'm like, okay, the guy hasn't given up a pressure this year, according to Pro Football Focus. So how is he not winning literally every snap?
Yeah.
It doesn't make much sense. Boye Mafe was number two defensively among edge rushers, both in pass rush win rate and run stop, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And Leonard Williams was not number two, but he was in top 10 for both as well. And then, maybe Nusu comes back this week. Who knows? I mean, I don't think he will, but I mean, that just imagine how much that's going to help the defense. No offense to the other players they've had. I mean, Derek Hall's been a lot better this year than he was.
Much, much better, but he's not Nusu.
No.
I mean, for that matter, Mafe might be Nusu this year, but he hasn't been in the past. As good as he's been, Nose is still the best edge rusher they've got.
Yeah, and the good thing is Mafe didn't do anything after Nose got hurt last year. And then, literally nothing, right? He had two sacks in one game the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But this year he's obviously started. He's got 9 pressures and 2 sacks already. So without Nose.
Yeah. He stepped up his game, definitely. And, well, of course, the question is how much has he stepped up his game and how much has Mike McDonald, Aiden Durney helped him step up his game, right? I mean, so many players have talked about the difference of the intensity and the rest of it. Although, we were talking before about how great the tackling was against Denver and then against New England. I mean, it wasn't bad, but there were a few just glaring errors. I mean, Mafe made one of them.
Oh, Mafe, and allowed that really long run.
Gave up a 45-yard run, and Mafe had him and didn't wrap him up. And, Mafe was one of the heroes of the game, but, I mean, that was one mistake he can't make against better teams. Again, better teams offensively is what we're talking about. And same thing with Love. Like, he hit the guy, and he thought, well, I'll hit him, and that'll knock him down, but it didn't. It's like, and normally he wraps people up. He made no attempt to wrap him up. If he had, right?
Yeah.
Tackle instead goes for first down. It's like, and that's not a mistake either of those guys is typically going to make, but you just can't do that.
Yeah.
And
Mike McDonald's.
Go ahead.
He blamed himself.
Exactly.
Yeah, after the game. I mean, he didn't blame tackling. He just said, no, I had the wrong, basically had the wrong game plan.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like it's half, some of it's scheme and some of it's execution. But, you know, then again, execution depends a lot on the coaching itself, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, what are you going to do in this situation? It's like, so, yeah, I really like, I mean, I like McDonald anyway, but I really appreciate that he stepped up and is like, oh, that's on me. Like, okay, I mean, it's kind of on the guys who didn't, like, do what they know to do, but he didn't say that, and he certainly could have. A lot of coaches would have. Pete Carroll wouldn't either, right? But I really appreciate that that McDonald's just like, nope. Those mistakes, those were on me. It was like, okay, that's, yeah. Like, that's the kind of guy that obviously the players are going to, like, anyone who thinks the players don't notice stuff like that, like, who are you going to work hard for? Someone who throws you under the bus for one mistake, like I just did for both those guys. I mean, they both had excellent games, right? But a couple of mistakes that you can't make. Yeah. And he could have called them out and said, like, what I just said, right? He's like, oh, they had great games, but, oh, this one play, this. He didn't do that. He took the full blame. If you're going to take credit, and he doesn't take a whole lot of credit either for wins, as we've seen, you got to accept the blame, and he definitely does that. So,
yeah,
you know, this guy, you know, these players are going to love playing for this dude.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what he's like? I mean, it's also who knows what he's like in the locker room, but he's also completely different mannerism as far as than Carroll. Nothing wrong with Carroll, but he was a lot more, you know, McDonald always seems like he's just like there. I mean, I haven't seen him scream and yell or anything yet.
But in the locker room, it like also kind of doesn't matter as long as the cameras are there. It's like
right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could be that in the locker room he's like, Todd, yeah, I mean, you sucked and everybody here sucked. But then you know, but he wouldn't do that, obviously. No, because we already know that how much the players have talked about how much they enjoy playing for him.
Yeah, for sure. Old school football. Grown man football.
He's younger than most of them, but
that's true. he's younger than some of them, which is kind of crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I mean, are there any players older, though, than 36 on the team?
Hankins is like 110, isn't he? I don't know. Hankins actually isn't that old, come to think of it.
Yeah, I think he's like, 32 or something. He just feels like he's... And Geno's 33, he'll be 34.
Yeah, definitely.
These players are close, for sure. Because Geno's one of the older players on the team.
Yeah.
And Lockett is, too. Older. Jason Myers, he's 57.
No. There are no players older. Geno's the oldest. At least according to profootballreference.com.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, he clearly showed he was a veteran in week two. I mean, he stayed calm. He didn't try to do too much. He'll have bad games because every quarterback, even Patrick Mahomes, has bad games. That was another thing I saw on social media. It's like, oh, Geno will have like, you know, four or five bad games. Mahomes might just have one. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to be
again.
Yeah. Four to five. Sorry, you're having those four to five bad games from a quarterback in the NFL. I mean, you could have one that's 17 games of bad.
Yeah.
You could have one that's 10 games of bad.
And there are a lot of.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You can have it all. Great pay. Awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Teams that have those quarterbacks, for sure.
Yep.
Now, if Walker is back, again,
guess who's back?
But that obviously bodes really well for the Seahawks attack. Otherwise, we're probably going to see, hopefully, another Geno Smith heroic performance, because that's what it's going to take. You know, unless they're going to have to scheme better. I mean, in the first half against Denver, right, Walker wasn't picking up any yards either. And then they started running outside the tackles more, and like, boom, what do you have, 85 yards in the second half?
Yeah.
We didn't see any kind of adjustments like that. And it's like, and like you said before, they're different backs. Charbonnet's not the same kind of back as Walker, and just doesn't quite have that same ability to cut outside as quickly as Walker. He's like, but they got to try something. Because if the first half goes like this against Miami, like it did against New England, they got to make better adjustments and get start running the ball a bit, because you can't like keep on depending on performances like that from Geno Smith. It's like, you probably get it, but you can't count on it. I mean, that was a terrific game. And like you just said, you're not going to get a terrific game every time from any player. It just doesn't happen.
Well, so, I mean, it should happen, though. It's what we're paying these people for. Greatness.
That's true. I sent you $5. You send your $5 to Geno this week? I did.
How many times have you seen the new Beetlejuice film?
I have seen the new Beetlejuice film 0 times.
Okay. And what did you think of it each time you saw it?
I thought it was magnificent.
Yeah, that's good. And that MacArthur's Park sequence.
Is there a cake?
There is a cake. So I'll say this without giving anything away. There is a MacArthur's Park sequence, and there is a cake. But I don't know that. I didn't, you know, everybody's, oh, it's the worst song ever or whatever. But I don't think I'd ever actually heard it. And when they were singing it, I was thinking, are those really the words? And
oh, I'm sure they're the words.
Really were.
Yeah, I'm sure they're the words. If
the recipe if it was, again thing, I was like, what the fuck?
if it was treacly beyond belief, like it should have been some canned treat from Great Britain. Yeah, those are the words. Yeah, it's a pretty hideous game.
That's
song, whatever. I was just thinking about the Seahawks game. It's like, I will say this, Miami so far in 2 games, their pass defense, their passer rating allowed is 113.3. That ain't good.
It's like, the Seahawks passer rating?
The Miami passer rating allowed.
Sorry,
Miami.
Seahawks. I must have
Seahawks are 69.5.
Yeah.
So almost literally twice as good as Miami's pass defense. And, you know, it's, I mean, yeah, Jared Allen. Josh Allen is a good quarterback. Jared Allen probably be a good quarterback, too. Josh Allen, a good quarterback, but, you know, you're going to face good quarterbacks in the league. Duh. Like, they also played Jacksonville. So, you know, Lawrence, whatever. But still, that's horribly bad. 113.3. I mean, that is just freaking horrific.
Yeah.
And then Jalen Ramsey has been.
I was about to say, wasn't
it's Jalen one of the worst Ramsey defenders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's so far, he has not been good. And again, these are the grades according to Pro Football Focus. Sometimes they can be wildly different. But for the team overall, you know, that's, I mean, they've got no picks. They've allowed 2 touchdowns. That's not bad, but they haven't intercepted a pass yet, and they only have 3 pass breakups. That's pretty horrific.
Yeah, that's I'm kind of surprised by that, because, I mean, and that could change in 1 week, right?
Yeah,
it's just 2 games.
Right? Yeah. But still, like, yeah. That doesn't bode well for their pass defense. So, you know, maybe, you know, that's one bright side to it if the Hawks have to throw a lot. Well, Miami's pretty damn susceptible to the pass so far. So,
yeah. So I need a word. It starts with S-O and has three more letters in it. And these are my letters.
SoCal.
W-O-W-A-A-T-G.
Swag.
Swag. Swag is not.
Walking in with a lot of swag.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost tried to. I guess I could put a W-A-T, so it's so what. There's got to be a word in there somewhere.
I'm pretty sure there is.
So at. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Where is Sammy at? So at.
Yeah, so yeah.
Everyone's know where Sammy's at.
So something. Sog it. No.
So other than the cake song, how was Beetlejuice? I'm not going to say it again.
Well, it was okay. All right.
You just don't like sequels, especially when you have to wait 700 years for them.
It was, it's mostly Winona, which is good. She was good.
Winona Earp.
Yeah. Jenna Elfman. What's that young lady's name who was in Wednesday? Yeah. Not Jenna Elfman. Ortega.
That was very racist of you, by the way.
She was, I said, because she's not an elf.
Yeah.
She's good. She's fine. It's just there. It's not bad. Mm. It's definitely not bad. It's entertaining. Mm. And then there's that MacArthur's Park song.
But is it as funny as Ironweed?
It's not as funny because Tom Waits is not singing the MacArthur's Park song like he does in Ironweed. I can't. Tom Waits would never do that. Jack Nicholson, so maybe. But
Jack would sing it.
Jack would sing it.
Hey, Richard Harris can do it. Jack can do it now.
It's true. But no, it's fine. It's worth seeing. It's worth seeing. A matinee, I would say.
A matinee.
Michael Keaton's obviously in it.
Sunday after.
I mean, there's a couple of parts where it's like.
Does he play Batman? That'd be cool.
He does play Batman. He is Batman in the film. Mm. There's actually no Beetlejuice in it.
Well, there you go. Batman. That'll be the sequel to The Flash. It's just Batman. And they'll like have a costume like pinned up on a wall. And it's all the Flash you need. That's all you needed in the first one.
Did you watch the Emmys? This past Sunday?
I did not watch the Emmys. I did see this tweet, though, on Fan cited Finn Fanatic, and I have not verified if this is correct, but it's on the Twitter, so it probably is. Mike McDaniel's last 12 games against teams with winning records, 1-11, 17.4 points per game, 31.7 points per game allowed. It's like,
Well, they struggle against teams that are physical.
Yeah, and seven,
a lot of those teams are probably physical.
And seven 20-point plus losses out of those 12 games is like, that's not a good record.
That's like Saints versus Cowboys.
God, I love that. I haven't watched it again, but I'm going to watch the 40-minute replay version on NFL Plus and NFL Pass, whatever, that thing, and probably watch it four or five times because ain't nothing as fun as watching the Cowboys get their things kicked in the dirt. And they got kicked in the dirt.
Yeah, they did.
But you know what? They're all in, so I'm sure the Cowboys fans are happy.
Yeah, they're definitely all in, as they should be.
They're all in something.
Yeah. They are.
I got
another word here. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. What was I going to say about the Cowboys that has not been said before? Because this is great radio.
You got a minor team who like thinks their running attack is two guys who should have retired 4 or 5 years ago. Both of them. Like, good call. we got one guy who can't play anymore. Let's bring in another. Oh my God, that's the best idea ever.
And they gave up on him quickly, thankfully.
Yeah.
As they should have.
Yeah. Yeah. But oh my God, Jerry Jones, he's a genius.
He is. He's, you know, a lot of people don't give him all the credit he deserves.
Oh, they're starting to. They're definitely starting to. Oh my goodness, what a fool. So, you know, when 12s bemoan, is like, oh, how terrible things are and this and that. It's like, look at some of the other franchises and kind of rethink your position. It's like, yeah, it'd be nice if you'd come off like back-to-back Super Bowls or something like that, right? Obviously, that's just why you... But it's also nice to know that you, you know, are rooting for a team that the players give their best effort. Like, and I think even the last couple of seasons under Pete Carroll, when we didn't get the results we wanted, they were giving their best effort, and the coaching needed to adjust, and it didn't.
Coaches need to be better tacklers is what needs to happen.
Coaches definitely needed to be better tacklers. And again, hopefully we'll see that this week against the Miami Fish.
Yeah. So what's your prediction for Sunday?
31.
For the Dolphins.
11 for the Hawks.
I'm going to say it seems, I don't know. This one seems too much of a break for the Seattle, to be honest, because, you know, after
this. It feels kind of like a trap, doesn't it?
It does. And I think partly because it's like, okay, they need to go 2-0. They did that. They didn't blow the teams. I mean, the Broncos game was not as close as the score was. Because, you know, Broncos scored a late touchdown.
Right.
Which didn't they do? They almost did that again. It was like Bo Nix has one good drive in him.
Yeah.
And it comes with a little over 2 minutes left in the second half with the team down. But then I was thinking, you know, they got the Dolphins and then they've got the Lions. And it was like, that could be 2-2. But with no Tua,
yeah,
I don't know. I still feel like I'm going to say 20-17 Dolphins. Just because something doesn't feel right.
Because you're racist. You're anti-bird.
Well, I mean, you pointed out the running back for Miami was a stud last week. And
yeah,
we don't know that the Seattle is going to fix their run defense. I mean,
no, we don't.
It was terrible against, and Stevenson's a fine back, but he's not in the same system that the Dolphins have. So that scares me. They can give up 200 yards rushing this week, which is all they would need to do to win.
So. Except, actually, I think even if they did give up 200 yards rushing, I think they'd still win because their Dolphins' pass defense is really suspect.
I know, but that to me, is if they're rushing that much, that means they're keeping the ball a lot, which is just like what we've seen the last couple of years where Geno Smith has to try to do something.
Right.
I mean, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping it's
is
what it seems, and the Seahawks win, you know, 24-10. But it just feels wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. It actually worries. It kind of, in some ways, it worries me more that Tua is out, just because then the rest of the team knows. I was like, we really got to, you know, pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, it's like, oh, we got this guy with a big arm and he'll get it done. But like, he wasn't getting it done against the Bills at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, that being said, like, yeah, I'm glad that Tua is out, because obviously, even if he has a bad game, like you said, he can have a bad game, not be a bad quarterback, because like, he could have certainly bounced back and had a really good game against the Hawks. So, because the odds of Skyler doing it, he's in the NFL and crazy things can happen. Absolutely. Yeah. But the odds of him having a really good game against Seattle are really poor.
At least really Carroll's not coaching, because we know if he's coaching, the backup quarterback's going to be a star.
Oh my God. Well, his name's not Colt, so there's an advantage there.
It's not. It was even that guy for the Rams who would like never.
I know.
Remember what his name was, but it was like he came out. He didn't do anything ever.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy who's like washed out of the league at this point, I think, pretty sure. Yeah. I can't think of his name now either. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Eesh.
Anyway, that is our show. Thanks for listening. And as always, we'd like to say the most hope.
Why are you the worst?
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.